Welcome to Get Uncomfortable, a show where we explore the process of becoming familiar with challenges, changes, and setbacks, and turning those into fuel and opportunities in your life. I believe the life we are searching for is found by going through discomfort and embracing it, not by choosing the path of least resistance. Listen in and enjoy conversations aimed to help you improve your life, overcome setbacks, and build a community that can rise together. Enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Get Uncomfortable. I'm your host, Shay McMaster. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. What was I going to say? Happy holidays. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Took a little break. I actually am starting a new career in real estate sales. I didn't know if I was going to tell anybody that or not, but yeah, we moved to Florida, and I've always wanted to learn the game of real estate. I've always thought that it was very exciting and interesting, and it's something that I've always wanted to get into. Not just the sales side, also the investing side. Don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, obviously, but one thing I do know is I will show up no matter what. That is a skill I have cultivated in myself throughout the years of getting uncomfortable, shutting down a gym that was working still. It was not dwindling. And moving across the country to a new place with no sphere of influence, nobody that I really know other than the family, and trying to start a new career is very uncomfortable, I will say. I basically have not had the energy to do anything outside of getting out of bed in the morning, going to the gym, being a husband and father, and trying to learn a new career. Like, it took everything I had every day to get out of bed. My wife has been in the same place. And if you know us, Bree is my wife. That's not normal for us to feel so wiped out and zonked and just drained and absolute dread and sorrow, like insane levels of catastrophizing. And we finally put our finger on what it was, and it was grieving the loss of the previous phase of our life. All the relationships that we had built, all the memories we had in the area, the familiar faces, being familiar with the streets and the houses and the businesses and just everything. Our life was there. And we decided to up and leave, which still seems insane to me, but we've been going through, a very unexpected grieving process. And I didn't actually link it together until weeks ago. I guess it was just like a week ago. But it's been two months long process of pretty severe grief. And when it's unexpected like that, I started to think, holy shit, I'm broken. Like, this is just how I am now, because I felt like it every day. And nothing that I was doing would make me feel better, like switch me back over into my old mindset of, like, you know, positive thinking and, you know, I'm a go-getter and go get the day done and go get after stuff and have a big vision and have energy for, you know, manifesting abundance and trying to manifest opportunities and connecting with people. It was like, holy shit, this is just how I am now. Yeah, I would work out and I'd feel better for a couple hours, and then the thoughts would creep back in, and then the energy would drain, and then the dread and the panic and the anxiety would kick back in. And then, yeah, I'd do an ice bath and I'd feel good for another hour or two, and then it'd come back. I couldn't sleep. I would wake up in a state of panic every time, every day, every morning. And it was like nothing that I normally do to feel better. Sauna, hard workouts, runs, meditation, reading, eating super clean, exercising twice a day, cold showers. I did it all. And nothing was making me feel better. I was just like, okay, I guess this is just how I'm going to function from now on. My brain is broke in this move. I broke it. And okay, that is my new reality. Fuck me. And, you know, it's not like I was going to act on it or anything, but I started to have, like, I was looking for a way out. Maybe you could call them suicidal ideations or something. Like, man, wouldn't it just be easier to just not wake up tomorrow? Like, this is getting pretty exhausting, and I'm really tired of feeling that way. So I started to think, man, fuck. Maybe I need to go into a mental facility. Like, I think I need to get checked into an outpatient rehab or something. Like, I'm crazy right now. Like, I don't feel good. And then I thought, well, that wouldn't really help the situation at all. You know, that's just going to put more stress on my family and more, you know, it's just pushing everything downstream. It's just waiting a while, pushing it down the road until the problems get bigger. So that's not going to help. So, like, I shouldn't probably check in. Maybe it would just be easier to check out forever. And that was like, I've never had that thought in my entire life. Like, I've never, you know, and the thought just popped up. It's not like I was going to act on it or anything, but it was like, I do not think like this. This does not, I have never had that thought before. What the fuck is going on? Because I was trying to escape from it. And what I'm saying is now I'm not feeling that way. And I feel like my old self again. I feel like I'm ready to attack the day. But I will say we put our finger on it, and it was the fact that we were grieving. And when I figured that out, when my wife and I figured that out, like, hey, we are grieving the loss of something. And it reminded me very strongly when I was grieving the loss of my mom. That's how I was like, oh, that's definitely what this is right now. Like, that's what's happening. Once we put a name on it, it felt like a large weight was lifted. Like, oh shit, this is normal. Like, this is a normal psychological, a normal human process that we are to go through in order to grow from this. Like, we cannot avoid this grievance. We cannot avoid grieving, and it's okay to do this. And it just felt like a weight was lifted once we named it. Once we were able to identify why we were feeling that way, instead of just being like, there's no reason to feel this way. We're in a place with tons of opportunity, tons of new people, tons of things to do, sunshine every day, no winter. Like, that was supposed to be the cure. What the fuck is wrong with us? And it was grieving. It was grieving our previous phase of life. And it feels way better now to know that and understand, like, when those waves of emotion come, that I am going to ride the wave. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to allow myself to feel it. I'm going to try to not identify so heavily with the outcome of that emotion and just be and sit with the emotion and allow it to be there instead of trying to push it away and run away and hide from it, or trying to chase a different feeling, or trying to fix that feeling, like just letting it be there. And I hope if anybody out there is going through grief right now from the loss of anything, like, it is normal. And once you can get that in your head that, like, hey, this is normal and I'm not broken, and it definitely doesn't last forever. Like, I don't feel near as sad anymore. I was like panicky. Everything, I would catastrophize everything. You know, we're going to run out of money. We're going to have no money. I'm failing as a father. I'm failing as a parent. I'm failing my family. I'm fucking a loser. I can't do anything. It's like the worst of the worst tapes were playing in my head. And that doesn't last forever. That goes away. And you do feel better. I hope that helps. Like, that's all I can say. Like, I don't know if there's anything that you can fucking do other than go grieve some more, you know, like, give yourself the space and the time to just grieve and, like, allow it to happen. Because I did all the things that I say on this podcast, like ice bath, sauna, workout, eat clean, meditate, positive thinking, talk to people. I did it all, and nothing made it feel better until I figured out what the fuck was going on with me. And just allowing it to be there and recognizing, like, you're not crazy, you're not broken, you're grieving, you're sad. Like, okay, go be sad some more for a while. Like, as long as it takes you to feel like you've come to terms with it, you know, and, like, allow those emotions to run through, because you don't want to bottle that shit up. You know, and there's no evidence to this, but, like, bottling all that shit up is going to cause, well, there is some evidence of that, obviously, like emotional trauma, physical trauma held emotionally, and, you know, emotional trauma can manifest physically, is definitely a real thing. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. I think it's by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, something like that. The Body Keeps the Score. But that happens, and I think eventually, you know, there's no scientific proof of this claim, but, like, I think you hold that shit in, dude, and it will manifest, like, into cancer, into a heart attack, into, you know, stress kills people. And that does lead me to the point of what we're going to talk about on today's episode. I ran an Instagram poll asking, like, what I should do my next podcast episode on, and it was exercise reducing the risk of cancer. And I have a family friend who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. So this topic hits close to home. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you for listening to my almost 10-minute story of how crazy I have been over the last couple months. But I think we're back now. I feel like I have more energy and ready to do this thing called life again with some grace and some gratitude for what I do have in my life, because my life is pretty fucking sweet, actually. So feels good to acknowledge the fact that I'm human and that we are going to have times where we feel crazy, and it's okay. Like, that's the big thing. Like, it's okay to feel that way. And it doesn't feel good to feel that way. That doesn't make it any better, but it's okay. That's like all I could say to myself about it. So I hope that that experience helps you. The other part of the poll was a New Year's resolution podcast. That was a close second on the poll. And actually, I think on Christmas, a guy named Matthew Moran and I, we actually recorded a collaboration episode about New Year's resolutions and why people fail, and kind of got into some of the psychology of it more than like, hey, this is what you need to be doing, this is what you should focus on. Like, why do you fail? And the name of the podcast is The Next Milestone Podcast. I think that's going to come out on Christmas. I'm going to let him post it first, and then I will post it up, the episode on here, so you guys can hear that too. So you'll be getting both of the things that were on the poll. And I'd like to say thank you for everybody that did vote. That's pretty cool that we actually have some engagement now. I constantly am questioning if I should keep doing this show, or if it's worth it, or if it's making a difference, or do I enjoy it anymore? You know, is it serving its purpose? And, you know, yeah, it is. And I do enjoy doing it, actually. So I love talking to people. It's almost like brain dumping for me sometimes, like at the beginning of this episode. And yeah, I'm going to keep doing it. So no video on this one because I am in between studios at this point. So I'm set up in a bedroom recording this, staring at a wall with my laundry sitting on top of a dresser. This mic is on a dresser. So no video on this one, but we're still going to crush out a cool episode. So let's get into cancer. Before that, if you would please leave a rating or review on the show, it does help a ton. It helps grow the show, makes us look a little bit more legit, so people know this is like a real show and not just some nonsense. So if you enjoy the show, if you learn something from it, you laugh, it's helped you. I just got an email the other day about how this has been a life-changing show for them, which is crazy to me, but it's why I did the show. That's what I want to have happen, help people improve their lives. So if it does, or you think it could help somebody else, and you want to help somebody maybe you've never met before, but you're willing to put some good out of the world, leave me a rating or review on whatever you listen to the show on. Thank you so much. Okay, so let's get into talking about cancer, the cancer prevention effects of exercise, the cancer recurrence, the reduction of cancer recurrence through exercise, and also increased cancer mortality. No, wait, I said that backwards. Don't. We don't want that. Decreased cancer mortality through exercise, meaning you're less likely to die from the cancer that you've already been diagnosed with. Okay. A lot of this information, actually, I found and heard originally on Found My Fitness is the name of the podcast by Dr. Rhonda Patrick. If you're into health and fitness at all, I am sure you have heard her name. So that is where I found this information. So if you want a real, real, real deep dive into all of this stuff, it was on episode 83 of Found My Fitness. Yeah, so, you know, I've heard some of this stuff before, but she went so deep on it. It was insane. But I understand that not everybody is a nerd about this stuff like me and doesn't feel like listening to a, you know, hour and a half or hour long podcast or whatever it is on deep scientific research and studies. But she does do a really good job of making it easily understandable. But I understand not everybody's going to listen to that. And I think this is pretty powerful stuff that we should get into. So let's start out with the fact that you should definitely be exercising. Obviously, there are a multitude of positive effects that will happen from doing exercise, any form of exercise, resistance training, you know, moderate intensity exercise like aerobic type stuff, long runs, long walks, at a brisk pace, bike rides, hiking, things like that. But then there's also a lot of benefits to high intensity exercise as well, vigorous exercise, which we're talking like 80% or more of your maximum heart rate. There is specific benefits to that. Now, the thing is, you should definitely just be doing exercise, right? You should, that's like, that should be a non-negotiable for humans in general. People that do not exercise at all are missing out on some very potent benefits of anti-aging, reduced risk of cancer, cardiovascular disease, a whole host of chronic illnesses, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, joint issues, all sorts of things, right? And autoimmune diseases, all sorts of things. So that is the big thing. So cancer prevention, let's talk about that just a little bit here. So there is multiple studies on this. They're like exercise snacks is what she was explaining on her podcast. The way that it was worded was vigorous intensity lifestyle physical activity, or VILPA, V-I-L-P-A. The way these studies are done is the participants would wear some sort of a tracker, like an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or a Whoop, I'm assuming, something like that, some sort of a smartwatch where they monitor heart rate and all sorts of other things. And they are told to do vigorous activity. So more than a zone two, more than like a nice walk that you could do at a conversational pace. Or if you're running at a conversational pace where you could talk, so it's a really slow jog, we're doing more than that. So 80% of your max heart rate or more. The activity, because it is done at such a high intensity, cannot be done for a long time. So this is from 1 to 3 minutes in duration and three times a day. So 1 to 3 minutes of high intensity activity for three times a day. Okay. And I'm assuming every day. I didn't actually look up any of the studies on this exact thing. I kind of took her word for it, but there's some stuff later on. I do have some studies that I'll link to in the show notes. But you can find these studies. They're out there. I've seen them before. And the outcomes of them doing this. So let's explain real quick. So 1 to 3 minutes, that's not a lot. So you're going to get up and you're going to do 1 minute of burpees at the fastest pace that you can. You're going to go run as hard as you can for a minute, you know, something like that, where you're not having to do 30 minutes, 60 minutes of long duration exercise. You don't have to get a bunch of weights out. You could row really, really hard for 3 minutes at a very high intensity. That's going to get your heart rate up. You could get on an air bike for 1 to 3 minutes and absolutely destroy yourself, get your heart rate up, destroy yourself in a good way, get your heart rate up very high. So that's what that would look like, right? If you don't want to go to the gym and do an hour long workout, you could do this 1 to 3 minutes. The outcomes were a 30 to 40% reduction in all-cause mortality, dying from anything health-related, and cancer-related mortality. So a 30 to 40% reduction in the chance that you are going to die from the cancer that you are already diagnosed with. That's amazing, right? So, and a huge reduction in all-cause mortality. Now, let's say you don't do any of that, you don't get any of those benefits, right? So not only are you not exercising, not feeling better, not feeling more confident, you're also not getting the benefits of cancer reduction and all-cause mortality reduction. Like, you're more likely to die from other health complications. So this is high-intensity type stuff, okay? It's not the only type of exercise, right? Any exercise, I think, is good exercise. But this is a specific study done on this, you know, high intensity type exercise. It's very interesting stuff. So a reduction in all cause mortality and cancer related mortality, very powerful stuff. Now, a byproduct of high intensity exercise is lactate. They thought it was literally just like metabolic waste, like a byproduct of the process of creating energy and the contraction of muscles. Lactate was thought to be nothing more than a waste byproduct that was just removed through the body. Okay, excreted out of the body. That's actually not true. It has been found. This is actually pretty recent in the last, I don't know, 10 years probably or less, roughly. It's actually a signaling molecule. So lactate is a signaling molecule. it activates brain-driven neurotrophic factor at the blood-brain barrier. Also, it is a very important part of neurotransmitter synthesis. Dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine all use lactate. The process is to create those neurotransmitters, utilize lactate. Okay, so like if you're creating lactate through exercise, you're giving your body the building blocks to make dopamine, to make serotonin, to make norepinephrine and other neurotransmitters as well. But you're like literally making it easier for your body to create these neurotransmitters, which is amazing. And then also it's an energy substrate. So the brain and the gut actually utilize lactate to create energy, right, in those tissues specifically. So lactate is not just a waste byproduct, and lactate is a byproduct of exercise, muscle contractions, high intensity exercise. So yeah, it's good. Lactate was thought to be, you know, that's what makes you sore. It's nothing more than a waste product, doesn't do anything in the body. So that's like an added benefit to high intensity exercises that you create lactate as a byproduct, and it is used in the body elsewhere. I don't think there's really like anything in the body that goes unused. Like it's an amazing machine. It's an amazing creation that we have, that we're walking around in every day. Now, that's interesting, I think. So let's get into, this is the one that was really, really, I think, crazy to me, and I'd never heard it before. This is cancer recurrence. Okay, so we've kind of talked about cancer prevention, obviously just like through exercise in general, maintaining a healthy weight, reducing all-cause mortality, reducing cancer-related mortality. This is cancer kind of recurrence. We're talking now about aerobic exercise. So there are situations, I don't think it's every type. I'm not an oncologist. I would like to preface this by saying that. But I did find some studies on this too. There are circulating tumor cells that can be found throughout the body when somebody is diagnosed with cancer. So the way it works is you have a primary tumor initially, you're diagnosed with that, and then some of these cells will escape the primary tumor, and then they are circulating throughout the body. They will get lodged somewhere, they will find a place to camp, basically set up camp, and they establish camp there, and then you grow a secondary tumor, right? So cancer recurrence. Now, once you get diagnosed with the primary tumor, it's how do we get rid of the cancer? How do we prevent it happening again, right? We want to prevent metastasis, so the growth of new tumor, the spreading of the cancer. The circulating tumor cells play a role in that, is the way I understand it. Okay. Now, there's something when you are doing aerobic exercise called shear force, the actual blood moving through your body, pumping through your heart, moving through your veins, moving through the system because of exercise at a higher force. It's called shear force. The force of the blood moving through your body during exercise kills off, destroys, literally destroys these circulating tumor cells. That's insane, right? The tumor cells have mechanoreceptors on them, meaning they're sensitive to movement. And the pure force of the blood moving through the body destroys these cancer cells. She explained it like a hurricane coming through and just wiping everything out. And they saw in these studies, a 40% reduction, 40% less likely to die from cancer after diagnosis. So a reduction in cancer mortality and a reduction in cancer recurrence. That's amazing. That the fact that just performing the exercise goes through and will destroy circulating tumor cells. That's amazing, right? I had never heard that before, and that just is another notch in the belt of like how important it is to exercise to maintain your health. And it's, I think people miss that sometimes. Like, yes, I know I should exercise, right? It's going to make me healthy. Yes, it's going to do this. We don't even know the extent to which the exercise is going to benefit us yet. Like, they're finding out new things all the time. Mental health benefits, physical health benefits, socioeconomic benefits, you know, like you feel better, you're happier, people take you more seriously when you walk into a room and you're fit and you don't look like a sack of shit, you know, like lazy. People, when you walk into a room and you're fit, they like, okay, this guy does work, this lady does work. You can tell that they take care of themselves. There's so many things associated with the benefits of exercise. It's not just like, yeah, I know I should do it because I get healthy. And the attitude of like, oh, yeah, I don't care. That's not for me. I don't care. I don't care. That's apathetic, right? And that's like tossing up your hands and giving up. That's just not the way, man. That's not the way I want to be. I don't think that's the way you guys want to be if you listen to the show. So don't give in to that shit where it's like, yeah, I should probably do it, but I don't know. I don't really feel like it. That's not really for me. I don't give a shit. I'm going to die someday. Like, yeah, dude, we're all going to die someday for sure, but don't you want to enjoy the time the best you possibly can and optimize your day-to-day experience by being healthy, being fit, being confident, having good mental health? Like, optimize. Don't just exist. That's the big key. Do not just exist every day. Try to optimize your experience. Why would you not do that? So we've talked about some pretty amazing benefits of exercise related to cancer. And I would highly encourage you to pick up an exercise routine in any form, whether it is walking at a moderate or low intensity for whatever, 150 minutes a week, I think is the general recommendation. Sprinkling in some of these exercise snacks, 1 to 3 minutes, three times a day. We're doing something real hard for 1 to 3 minutes. And guess what? If you're new, you're not going to have to do a super high pace. You're not going to have to do 100 burpees in a minute, which you can't do anyway. You are not going to have to sprint full speed. Like, if you are untrained and you're not in great shape, you just have to do enough to get your heart rate up to 80% plus of your max heart rate, which I've done podcasts on how to identify your max heart rate before. Better results in the gym. I don't remember exactly what episode it is. There's a lifting portion, resistance training portion, and an aerobic exercise portion where I talk about how to identify your max heart rate. So go back and listen to that. You won't have to do as much because your heart rate will get up high really quick because you don't do a lot of activity, but you can just start. The other thing would be to do some aerobic exercise, light jogs, bike ride, hiking, things like that. I recommend getting into martial arts, you know, if you feel like ready to do that. Jiu-jitsu is great. Muay Thai is kind of fun. The boxing class, kickboxing class, something like that. It's a little bit more enjoyable than just like walking on a treadmill. Rucking is another really, really good option. Putting on a pack or a weighted vest or a plate carrier and going on walks, going on a hike, wearing some extra weight. Absolutely great way. Relatively low impact, increases the amount of weight that you're moving each day, raises your heart rate more than you would just walking normally. Yeah, like I said, very joint friendly, and it's a great way to increase your physical activity. It's amazing. All of those things. And exercising by lifting weights is also another really important one, I think. The more muscle mass you have, the more strength you have, the more longevity you're going to have in life, the more capability and independence you're going to have as you age. Extremely important to build up your strength. Your connective tissue, your joints need to be stable because you have strong muscles, and yoga, right? Like yoga is another one. If you are doing a ton of weightlifting like I do, I would highly recommend you start doing some yoga. I needed to do it. I had to do it. I was having a lot of structural issues because I was not stretching enough and I got very tense and tight and I had poor mobility and range of motion in specific joints because I was never stretching. I just didn't do it very much. I didn't like it, so I didn't do it. I liked working out really hard. As soon as I was done, you know, I was time crunched, I would just leave. Now I'm taking days where I'm just doing yoga instead, or I'm just stretching for 30 minutes or sometimes an hour, and I'm doing a yoga class or watching a yoga video and forcing myself to do that. And if you do yoga all the time and you're highly mobile, one of the best things you can do to stabilize your joints is to lift weights, is to get stronger and to increase the strength of those muscles to stabilize your joints better. So it's pretty much do the opposite of what you like to do or what you tend to do all the time will help you out. Yeah, that was a lot. I hope this was beneficial to you. This was the winner of the poll when I put it up, so I thought I would bust this out and get this up as soon as I could. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and most likely we will be back next week if everything goes according to plan and I can find some time to do one again here. We'll be back next week. Until then, go get uncomfortable.